So last week, I took us through a recap of why we gather, and it was also intentional that it led us to a pattern that was visible for us to see in the book of Acts. So we saw that in the book of Acts, there were gatherings, and there were gatherings of believers. Amen. So, amen. Okay. So this week I'd say that we'd share to find out the different kind of meetings that actually take place when the saints gather. So, number one, we'd say the reason we gather is because we were born into a family. Amen. So we looked at John chapter 14 from verse 1 to verse 4. And two, we'd also looked at Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25, where we had the second reason that we gather because it's an instruction and not a suggestion. It's not an option for us to tick boxes for the sake of coming. No, but the scriptures actually instruct us that not forsaking ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Maybe I didn't mention this. When you see the day approaching, is speaking about the day of judgment that you should know. So, in essence, even in the day of judgment, the assembling of the brethren is key on that day. Why? Because that's how we stir up one another unto love and good works. How we do it? We assemble. We come together. Amen? And because of this, we'll go to, I know these two reasons will lead us to the different kinds of teachings, of meetings, sorry. But before maybe I do that, let me just read something from Kenneth Hagin was asked a question in the 1980s. He was asked, what's the will of God in the last days? And in his book, Plans, Purpose, and Pursuits, he says, the will of God in the last days is to bring up strong local churches who are full of the Word and full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so, Mark Hankins also said something. Mark Hankins said, because we are a body of Christ, it means a gathering is required. Amen. Now, this already shows us that all of us, each and every one of us, was actually born into a family, amen? We are not born into isolation, we are born into a supernatural relationship. A supernatural family. And because of that, fellowship is necessary. The local assembling is necessary. So when you find those kind of believers who do not want to belong to a local church, there would be two things that are imminent in their lives. Number one, either those kind of believers are selfish, or they are proud. Selfish, because life is about them and them alone. You find people like that, where even when you tell them, say, I don't think I need that. I can as well pray. I can as well do these other things. Okay, proud, simply because they do not want to be accountable to another person. And yet we are family. Amen. So let's open this scripture because it will lead us to the different kinds of meetings. In Kenneth Hagin's book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, the Lord revealed to him that there are different purposes and plans for different kinds of meetings. And today we'll be looking at those different kinds of meetings. But the third reason as to why we gather or come together is for edification of the body of Christ. For edification of the body of Christ. So we come to be edified, to be built up. Amen. Let's open Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 14. Ephesians 4. Oh, okay. He says, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now that word perfecting, katatismos, is simply to fit things in the right position or the right order. Okay? So as you are being matured, you are actually being positioned as a saint. In what? In the work of the ministry. That will give us our second point. Our fourth point. We also gather for spiritual development and enhancement of your ministry in the body of Christ. Amen. Are we seeing this portion? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we come to be edified as a body of Christ through what? The ministry gifts that the Lord has given in the church. Remember, I told you that church, called out ones, ecclesia, okay, is also structured. Okay? It is not something that is there oblivious. No, it is not oblivious. It has a way things are run. I thank God that Pastor is sharing on honor and order in the church. Amen? So you know how you conduct yourself when you come in the gathering of the saints. Amen? So, as you are being edified, as you're being perfected, to that end, that you develop and your ministry in the body of Christ is enhanced. Amen? So you find out the things. If you remember the first lesson we had, teaching, we said many of you got to know what your purpose is in the gathering of the saints. Many of you began to exercise the spirit or the spiritual or gifts of the spirit when you were in the gathering or in the meeting. Of which things I would say were not rocket science, or they did not confuse you. Why? Because you came in the meeting. Check. Thank you. This is better, I think. Check. Okay, so when we look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, 12, We reached 12. Let's go to 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. 14. Okay. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. So from just Ephesians chapter 4, we critically begin to see. That the third reason why we meet is for edification of the body. When you come and meet because you're family, because you're instructed, and when you do meet, you are edified. So you come to be edified. Okay, so when you meet, you come to be edified. And when you are edified, then we see that you're being positioned, you're being perfected, you're being enhanced spiritually for the ministry in the body of Christ. Amen. Pastor has always told us that the reason why you have the ministry gifts, okay? The apostle, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the prophet, is for the work of the ministry. So at the end of the day, you should also know that there is a mandate in the gathering. It is purposeful. Amen? It is purposeful. Just like we have family meetings, all family meetings have a purpose. And so there is a purpose all together when we meet. Amen? And so that leads us to how these things come to be. So we all know that, number one, the reason we meet, because we are born into a family. And we are born by the Word. Amen? And we know that the other, that we are because we are instructed. And the Word instructs us to meet. Amen? The third, edification of the body comes by the teaching of the Word. Amen? And then you're instructing, being instructed will also come through the Word. Hallelujah. So because we meet, and essentially the Word is at the center of this, then there are meetings, and there are different kinds of meetings when we gather. So let's look at meeting number one. Check. Okay. Meeting number one. We have the teaching meeting. So primarily we'll see and observe that actually Jesus Christ, we'll observe and see that Jesus Christ held the different kind of meetings in the Gospels. So one of them is teaching. Jesus Christ taught. Amen? He taught. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. Okay. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses, and all manner of disease among the people. 24.
And his fame went throughout Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. Amen. So let's also go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 34 and 35. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out demons through the prince of devils. 35. And Jesus went about all cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Okay, let's also look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain, and when he had sat, his disciples came unto him. Verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Amen. Let's also look at Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. So Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Hallelujah. So primarily, the activity in such a meeting is teaching. Just like what we are having this morning. It is a teaching meeting. Amen. So from the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see him teaching. And in teaching, the word of God is explained. Amen. The word of God is explained in a teaching meeting. Hallelujah. Yes. So when you come to church, ask yourself, what kind of meeting am I attending? Amen. Teaching meeting. Okay. Is it a teaching meeting? By the way, before the Lord Jesus Christ went to, in quotes, heaven. When you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20, the Bible says, and he came unto them and said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you till the very end of the age. So you will see that in training and the making of disciples, teaching is pertinent. We can as well say that he sent us to teach men. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that also when he had just resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Imagine, Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead. The first thing that he does was not power. You know, we love power. Jesus could have slightly just done this. Touch and they are slain. Amen. For them to know that I am back. Amen. But interestingly, he does something amazing. Verse 26. But not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. 27. And beginning at Moses and all and in all the prophets,
he expounded the armenio unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Jesus Christ took these guys through a Bible study. He taught them on the way to Emmaus. Hallelujah. So we see that just like he taught these two, you'll also see the same thing in Acts, in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. When he appeared to them, he again began to teach them. He opened their understanding that they may understand the scriptures. Hallelujah. So the 40 days of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first primary thing he did was not the demonstration of power. Yes, it came in, but he first taught these people. Amen. So when you come to church, there is such a thing as a teaching meeting. Amen. Amen. I know Africa, as Africa, we love celebrations. We like to sing. We like to dance. We like to pray. But you see, before you praise, before you sing and praise, you should actually learn. You should actually know. So that you praise and sing to the one that is known. Amen. And you're not doing it out of emotions. You're now doing it out of knowledge. Hallelujah. And that knowledge comes through teaching. So we also see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. After the day of Pentecost. This is what happened. After Peter exalts them, and many receive Jesus Christ and are baptized, 3,000 are added to the 120. This is what happens. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Hallelujah. So teaching is one of the meetings that we have in the gathering. When the church gathers, we have a teaching meeting. Amen. The second meeting we have is the prayer meeting. We come together primarily to pray. Amen. We come primarily to pray. So in this meeting, we lift up things that bother us in prayer corporately and not just individually. And more importantly, the things concerning the gospel. Amen. So the things concerning the gospel, when we have a prayer meeting, we lift these things up. Amen. It's interesting, in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus takes these people to pray, remember he's going to the cross. Out of the four, only one person was praying, Jesus Christ. And it is so sad that this is how sometimes prayer meetings have been. These ought to be meetings that are attended by believers, many believers, because we are walking in our own. There are things that we are practicing that are eminent in this life, amen, that are meant to be voiced out. Hallelujah. But sadly, many were sleeping. And it's the same thing that happens in Matthew chapter 17. When he takes them to the place of prayer, he took James, John, and Peter. Okay. When Jesus takes James, John, and Peter to the mountain of transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, interestingly again, these people sleep. No wonder Peter comes up and he says, let's build tabernacles. One for Elijah, one for Moses, and one for you. They really didn't have so much to say. Why? They were sleeping. I like what Pastor Ronald said. He says, let not the spirit of Eutychus ambush you like an armed robber. Amen. Otherwise, you may begin to say things you should not say in the place of prayer. And yet, in the place of prayer, you're meant to direct the power of God. Allow me also to thank Sister Sylvia. My God, those who missed Wednesday, you missed. We had an amazing prayer meeting. My God, it was very powerful. Sister Sylvia, thank you so much for leading us. That was really powerful. I came out, if I was to go into war, there and then, my God, even Rainbow would not know me. Yes, but that meeting was really powerful, very powerful. So I encourage us, let's take advantage of prayer meetings, because they are part and parcel of the gathering, one of the meetings in the gathering. Amen. And maybe also to note, during the study, we observed actually that Jesus Christ in the prayer meetings did not teach, but he simply prayed. So in the prayer meeting, you'll be given direction, but the main primary activity will be praying. Praying. And in this meeting, that's how our disciples are taught how to pray. This is how they can learn to pray. Pastor has already said, there is a teaching on prayer. There is an art of prayer. But there is the real practice of prayer. Amen. And the practice of prayer cannot be learned. You have to pray. It is learned as you are praying. As you are observing others pray. Amen. That is how you can learn. That is how you can know this practice on prayer. Hallelujah. So we also see the same in Acts chapter 1 verse 14 as a pattern for the believers when they gathered, they prayed. Acts chapter 1 14, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. You can imagine Mary the mother of Jesus was also praying with them. So the advent of the day of Pentecost was orchestrated by prayer meeting. Hallelujah. So there are things that will happen in that meeting. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 also, verse 42. We still see the same. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, teaching, in fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And in prayers. Amen. So when they gathered, the other primary thing they did in the meeting was prayer. Amen. Let's look also at Acts chapter 4, verse 23 to. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Oh, this might be quite a little bit long. Okay. And being let go, they went to their own company. Now, people. Okay? Believers. And reported all the things that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices, their voice to God, with one accord. This was prayer. And said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in and all that is in them is. So you read that Acts chapter 4. Amen. You'll see what happened. They were threatened. And when they were threatened, they went to their company. And what did they do? They prayed. Hallelujah. So this is the cheat code for all of us as believers. Sometimes we are beaten during the week. Sometimes many things have happened during the week. You're discouraged. You are, you know, your bosses have done things. Situations have happened and all that. Come to a prayer meeting and be rejuvenated. Hallelujah. come and lift up together with the saints. Amen. Every other time I come, honestly speaking, some days are hard. But when you come, the Wednesday prayer meeting, my God, you live when you are, some people say, let me use the expression, figure of speech, cloud nine. Okay? You live and say, no, I will fight on again. Amen? I will live again. I will go back again and do it. I will not give up. You're actually charged up. And Pastor has been exhorting us. From this, actually, boldness begins to manifest. Not that you didn't have it, no. It was stirred up again. Hallelujah. So, in this meeting, primarily, we pray. And we begin to see certain things begin to happen when we gather. Amen. The other meeting that takes place, or that believers normally hold, is an evangelistic meeting. Amen. Now, in the evangelistic meeting, we gather people to preach the gospel to them. Or, we as believers actually come together and we take the gospel to the unsaved. Hallelujah. Amen. We take the gospel to the what? To the unsaved. When you look at Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus is sending out his disciples, he gathered them and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God that had come nigh. In Luke chapter 10, you'll also see the same happening. Maybe, okay, let's read Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Mark chapter 6, verse 7 to 8. Okay, Mark chapter 6, 7 to 8 says, and he came unto, and he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. Mm-hmm. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save the staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. So we see Jesus Christ sending these people out. Hallelujah. I try to look also at something that is pertinent. You'll see that in such a meeting, there will be signs, there will be wonders, there will be healings that will actually take place. Hallelujah. When the gospel is being preached. Now, interestingly, in the day of Jesus Christ, I think we've had this from Reverend Shegun. I went to check it out and actually was trying to look through the Bible, the scriptures, to ask myself about the statement he made. At this particular time, by the way, Jesus Christ did not get comedians to attract the crowd. He did not get musicians to attract the crowd. He did not get orators to attract the crowd. Now you may say and say, because today we are seeing that where we are holding evangelistic meetings like crusades, okay, what is happening is we're bringing some gospel artists first. When you begin to hear certain artists, people say, let me at least, I'll have an opportunity to see this artist. Oh, there is this comedian. He is coming. I'll not miss. And people are being drawn, not primarily because of the word, but primarily because of the giftings, I would say, or talents and skills of certain men to a certain meeting. But remember, this is a spiritual meeting. Remember, the ecclesia, the called out ones, is a supernatural relationship. Amen? And as of such, there is a way it carries out its activities. It does not replicate the models of the world. Amen? Amen? So you will see that actually, I was trying to look through where there are comedians. Yes, there were comedians actually in the day of Jesus Christ. Okay. When you look at what we call the scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, you remember King, is it King Artaxerxes? And even Darius. You remember that there is a time, one of those kings in the day of, actually, for Darius, when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, he did not have any musician come to play for him. No, he was very uncomfortable. He couldn't wait for the next morning. He looked the way to actually get Daniel out. Okay? So for me, that already pointed, if there were musicians by then, that means even in the day of Jesus Christ, musicians were there. Okay? Orators. You remember when Paul is before King Agrippa, Bens and Festus, they bring to Tullius, who is an orator, to come to give a defense in that council against Paul. So meaning, men of oratory prowess were in the day of Jesus Christ. But he did not send them. Amen? Now as for comedians, I looked through. Where I can cite some of these, but you will read them in context. It's not there that it is comedian. Okay? But this could be seen in the festivals of marriage. Okay? Where weddings were being arranged. Okay? Such would actually be found. Amen? So, here we would see that in this meeting, primarily the power of God begins to attract men. It gets their attention, and therefore we are able to preach the gospel to them. Hallelujah. And such a meeting also takes place in the gathering. Amen. We simply preach the gospel to the unsaved. The believers preach the gospel to the unsaved. Hallelujah. Amen. You'll also observe that let me give you this scripture reference too. Acts chapter 8 verse 6 to 7, Philip goes down to Samaria. He begins to preach. Okay. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Not comedy, but miracles that he did. So they gave heed. And so this was an evangelistic meeting when they came many. The Bible says, and the city of Samaria was filled with joy. Wow. Philip preached Christ. Amen. And also, we'll also observe when you read carefully that in Acts chapter 2, the nature of Peter's teaching, preaching, is evangelistic in a way, because 3,000 men received the life of God. Amen? He explained these things to them, but it was also evangelistic in a way. So it could also double as an evangelistic meeting. Amen? Well, believers were present. The 120 were present, speaking in tongues. And Peter stands up amidst them, and then he begins to preach. And 3,000, Bible says they were cut to heart, and 3,000 gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Amen? So to note also, because we're seeing healing taking place, we also have the healing meetings. The fourth kind of meetings we have are healing meetings. Amen? Here we call people and minister to the sick. Hallelujah. We minister to the sick. So in evangelistic meetings, you'll see healings taking place. But also there is such a thing as when the saints have gathered, there could and there will be healing. So it would turn into a healing meeting. But the primary goal in that meeting
is to heal the sick. And we see various patterns of this happening over and over. I think we've looked at Jesus Christ. Jesus held healing meetings. Now, interestingly, he did not publish it today as we have it of, guys, I'm going to heal. Come. I'm going to heal. No. As he taught, because all these meetings can work in sync or together. Amen. But primarily, sometimes you can have them strategically as this meeting, and its purpose and cause is just to heal. Amen. So we'll see various examples. Let's look at Acts chapter 9, verse 11. We'll look at Paul. Acts chapter 19, verse 11. So Acts 19:11, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, 12, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now when we look at when you look from Acts chapter 17 in progression as Paul began to preach in Ephesus, and the word continued to grow. So God began to wrought special miracles. Now the saints, as he was teaching them, they also began to do certain things. Amen? There was healing. He began to heal those that were sick. Okay? But also, the believers carried such things. I thank God. For those who have missed Wednesday, let me add something. Pastor Ronald has been teaching us on now the two kinds or ways of healing. Because he says gifts of healings. We've been looking at power gifts. And they are gifts of healing. And the two ways, one is through utterance and touch. Okay? And in touch, he told us about the laying on of hands. So men are able to receive. But also, the use of medium. So, by that usage, we find that the saints decided to also do the same. They picked up handkerchiefs, aprons, and took these things and laid them on the sick. And the sick were healed. And demons were cast. Isn't that amazing? After the man of God has taught in this house, you have believed as contact. Eh? You take the handkerchief. You know someone says demon possessed. You throw it on them and the demon leaves. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to such days. Amen. That even what you are putting on will heal the sick. I remember Pastor sharing about one of the fathers of faith in the land. He was tired. He just said, anyone who needs healing, this table. Touch the table, and he left. And I'm telling you, whoever came and touched that table, they were healed. They were healed. Amen. Okay, so we see various. Even Acts chapter 5, verse 13, in Solomon's colonnade. Let's see, Acts chapter 5. Okay. Okay, let's just read one by one. And of the rest doth no man join himself to them. But the people magnified them, and believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick in the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by may overshadow some of them. Amen. So we also see Acts chapter 3, the healing of the man at the gate, beautiful. Now Peter explains what had just happened. So in the healing meeting, you will minister healing. you will explain healing. You know, like Pastor Ronald has taught, the things of the Spirit are not mysterious. They are taught. They are learned. And as of such, even in the healing meeting, this will be explained. For what purpose? That healing may be made manifest in your bodies. Hallelujah. Because they are still mortal. Hallelujah. Amen. So as of such, we also have what we call... Now I'm going to put this together. We have what we call special meetings. Amen. We have what we call special meetings. So these special meetings can be what we call maybe SPVs or special purpose vehicles. For instance, did I say for instance? Okay. In these meetings, a lot can be done in just one meeting. Okay? I'll explain some of these. Let me just give this Kano example. For instance, for those who are at work, there are times you're told, you're given a contract, but you know that your company cannot fully do and execute. So what you do is you set up another, you call forth other companies that have specialized in certain areas. Let's say like construction, like say, you come and say, I know my company cannot do a full build of about 33 stories. So what Nathan does, because he's won the contract, I go and call another company that solely does logistics. Okay? I call them. I say, I want you to get me the quotation of logistics. I get another company that does human HR, human resource. Then I get another company that does purely construction. Like they have builders, they have mansions. Then I get people who are machinery. So I put all that together to form one company, but with one specific goal, to build the 33 story. So it has the electricals, it has all these things. So as of such, that's where we have the Holy Ghost meetings. Hallelujah. So in the Holy Ghost meetings, we gather and have the gifts of the Spirit in demonstration. And all believers participate. Amen. All believers do what? Participate. Amen. We look at Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, the Spirit of the Lord that had come on them, they began to speak in tongues. They all participated. What you observe in such a meeting is that the gifts of the Spirit, utterance and revelational gifts, will actually be made manifest, but they are for the ministration of the saints to one another. Amen. When Pastor Ronald had been teaching, we've been enjoying Holy Ghost. Pastor normally transitions us and we in a time frame. We are able to actually exercise. It turns into a Holy Ghost meeting. Hallelujah. We transition from teaching then into practice, into a Holy Ghost meeting. So these meetings were actually there. When we gather, there is such a thing as a Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. You'll also note that in Acts chapter 1, following 1 up to about 4. Jesus Christ after the resurrection. Let's read. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of that Jesus began to both to do and teach. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles, with apostles whom he had chosen, 3, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So the infallible proofs, there were signs. Amen. There were signs. There are things he demonstrated. Amen. Before he gave, after the resurrection, he begins to teach them. In those 40 days of teaching them, there were also signs, there were miracles that are not recorded. Okay? But by infallible proofs, infallible signs, there are things that Jesus Christ did. Amen? And so we see him having instructed the apostles. Amen? So, in Luke chapter, if you look at Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it is an instruction for a Holy Ghost meeting. He told them, do not tarry in Jerusalem. Behold, I send the promise of the Father, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Okay? So the precursor of Acts chapter 2 was an instruction for a Holy Ghost meeting that would take place. Hallelujah. Well, in that meeting, we see gifts of utterance. We see the speaking of tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Amen. Pastor Ronald has taught elaborately on this. Amen. So, it suffices to say that when we gather as a church, amen, for these meetings, amen. Oh, there is a meeting. There is one more meeting. Now, there is another meeting, one of the last meeting. It's what we call the fellowship meeting. Fellowship meeting. Okay? So, we also have a meeting where we create room for fellowship. That is to say, the breaking of bread, as seen in the early church. After the teaching, after the praying, they would break bread and eat together. What we call the love feasts. Amen. Here we call it family Sunday. We call it family what? Sunday. So let me give you the scriptures. Kindly go through them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 17 to 18. And 20. And 33. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 17. 18 and then 33. Maybe we could just read 17, 18. That which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in the confidence of boasting. 18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I also glory. I will glory also, huh? For you suffer full seeing ye yourselves as wise. 20. No, it's First Corinthians 11, 17. Sorry, First Corinthians. Okay. Now in this I declare unto you, I praise ye not, that ye come together not for the better. So our coming together is also for the better. But here they were coming for the worse. Verse 18. First of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. 19. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. 20. Ye come together therefore into one place. This is not to eat the Lord's supper. Now you also know that in that chapter, I remember Pastor Brother Marino, yes. He taught on discerning the Lord's body.
Amen. Now, in this chapter, they were speaking about the love feasts. Okay? When you come together, what was happening in the love feasts? There was strife. People were not waiting for one another. So that's why Paul instructed and said, don't you have homes? First go and eat. So when we come together, we also eat together. Amen? And as a church, we often find a time in a month, in a day. But I've seen this as a practice in many house churches. Hallelujah. Many house churches gather together and they eat together. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread. Okay? So you also find 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 and 26. You read that. So, the emphasis on the gathering and the coming together is to fulfill the mandate of Christ, not the mandate of commerce, not a political party, not even culture, but Christ's mandate. It's not a place where you'll say, guys, next week, we are going to watch Wakanda. That is not church. That is something else. It has a different purpose. So we must recognize these meetings. Amen? We must recognize these meetings because they have a purpose. And that purpose is to fulfill the mandate of Christ. And how we'll do it is through all these various meetings that have been occasioned and planned for us. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's not be found replicating the world's mission amidst the church. Our agenda is to know Christ and fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. So that's our purpose, to replicate, to know Christ and have fellowship with Him. Hallelujah. Yeah, so next week we'll look at the last reason why we gather and also share on how we prepare for these meetings. May God richly bless you.